Good morning. Today's daf is Arachin daf Yud Ches. We left off Yud Zayin Amud Beis in the middle of the Amud. Today's share is sponsored by Zev and Aliza Belsky in honor of the yahrzeit of Zev's uncle, Shimon ben Yecheskel Halevi, who also was a backup daf Yomi Magid Shir. His yahrzeit is being observed today. And Shama should have an Ali in the schus of our learning. And we thank Zev and Aliza very much for the sponsorship. Today's shiur is also sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children. And we thank Dr. Landerer again very much for his continued sponsorship. Yesterday, we started the fourth parak of the Masechta. We got back into sugyos of Arachin. What we left off with yesterday and what we are going to pick up with today is the concept of, we know that ordinarily if a person vows that he's going to give either his erech value or somebody else's erech value, if the person who's making the vow was a person of means, then the Torah specifies exactly what the erech of a person is, depending on the gender, depending on the age. We know all this. The Torah also tells us, v'imachu, if he's too poor to be able to afford the full erech, then he gives whatever he can afford. He gives whatever he can afford to give. So yesterday in the Mishnah, we saw an interesting halacha that whether the person is poor when he takes the vow and is rich when it comes time to pay the vow, or if the person is wealthy when he takes the vow and then he becomes poor, so he's poor at the time that it comes to pay the vow, no matter what, by erechin, you're stuck. You have to give the erech of a rich person. Not only that, we saw in the Mishnah, if a guy is poor and then he became wealthy, and then he lost his money. So he was poor at the time that he made the vow and at the time that he's paying the vow, but he was rich in the middle. Also, we saw in the Mishnah that he has to give the erech of a rich person. And what we left off yesterday was with a drasha of the Gemara. It says, "Ve'machu me'erkecha achiyu makusa betchilaso vatsofo." In other words, the only time that he's able to get away with giving the erech of a poor person is if he's poor the entire time. And the Gemara is going to contrast that between the halacha by a mitzora. We know also by a mitzora, he brings a type of karban depending on whether he's wealthy or poor. And we're going to ask why the same halacha doesn't apply. We are then going to discuss that which we concluded the Mishnah with, which is that if a person is currently not wealthy, but is standing in line to receive great wealth, then we don't factor that into the calculation. We're going to explain why, what situation we're talking about. And then the next series of Mishnayos are going to talk about, let's say, whose age do you use to calculate the erech of this, the age of the subject of the vow, the age of the person making the vow. We saw all this in the Mishnah in the beginning of the parak already, but the coming Mishnayos are going to pick up on that. And then we're going to get to a machlok, then we're going to get to a Mishnah that's going to tell us, so we know that there are age brackets. So for example, from age 5 to 20, is one erech, and 20 to 60 is another erech. What if you are 20 years old? Are you in the lower age bracket, or are you in the upper age bracket? So we'll talk about that a little bit. That's on the Mishnah at the bottom of, or towards the bottom of, Yud Ches Amud Aleph. And that discussion is going to carry us through the entirety of Yud Ches Amud Beis as well. But again, we left off, it's about halfway down Yud Zayin Amud Beis. And we're going to start with Elamayata. The first word on the line is Sheyehe. So again, what we said yesterday was that the only time you could get away with giving the erech of a poor person is if you're poor, both when you make the vow and when it comes time to pay the vow. Because the drush and the pasuk is, the only time you get away with it is if you are poor entirely, the whole way through. Says the Gemara, Elamayata, if that's the case, by Mitzora it says, Vim Dalhu, if he's too poor to afford the regular kabanas. Achinami achid badalusa mitchaloso at sofo. Would the same halacha apply that the only time you get away with giving the karbanos of a poor person's mitzora is if you are poor from the beginning of the process through the end of the process? And if you want to say, yeah, maybe that's the halacha, but we learn in a Mishnah not like that. Mitzora shevi karbonosav ani veheshir. If a person is a mitzora and he's bringing his karbonos, if he was an ani at first and then he became wealthy, usher veheni, or if he's wealthy at first and then became poor, hakol olech achar chatas. Everything rides on his status when he brings the karbon chatas. If he's poor when he brings the Karban Chatas, then he brings the Karbanas of a poor person. If he's wealthy when it's time to bring the Karban Chatas, then he brings the Karbanas of a rich person. Divri Rabbi Shimon. Rav Yehuda Amar Akol Halechachar Asham. Rav Yehuda says, no, I agree that everything is contingent on his status at the time he brings a Karban, but the Mitzora brings many Karbanos, and I think the critical Karban is the Karban Asham. Vatani Rabbi Lezer Ben Yaakov Amar Akol Halechachar Tziparim. And everything goes after his status when he brings the birds. We saw yesterday that the Mitzorah, we saw 2 days ago that the Mitzorah has to bring two birds. So it's Mar Allah, and we say, Am Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Ushlash Mikra Echa Darshu. They all darshan this limud from the same pasuk. Asher Lo Tasig Yado B'Taha Raso. When does the Torah say that the Mitzorah is allowed to get away with giving a cheaper carbon? That's if he can't afford it. Betaha Raso. And what does that mean? So Rav Shimon Savar Davar Mechaper. Rav Shimon says that all rides on his status when it's time for him to bring the Davar HaMechaper, the carbon that's Mechaper. After all, he gets Haras, we've been seeing in the previous sugyas for saying Lashon Hara, or for Gezel, something, you didn't have Avera, that's why you have Haras. So it all rides on your status at the time you bring the carbon that's Mechaper. Mainiu Chatas, and what is that? That's the Chatas. Rav Yehuda Savar Davar HaMachshir. Rav Yehuda says it all rides on his status at the time he brings the carbon that is machshir him lavo b'mikdash. Rashi says that's machshir him to again come into the Beis HaMikdash. Umayniyu asham, that's the asham. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov sover davar agorim lotara maniyu tziporim. No, what it rides on is it all rides on his status at the time he brings the carbon that is gorim tahara, and that's the birds, because if you don't have the birds, you can't do the giluach, you can't do the shaving, Rashi says, and you don't have the entire tahara process. And the entire tahara process is contingent on bringing the birds. The Ella says the Gemara that obviously we see that by Mitzora, in order to bring the carbon of a poor person, there is no halacha that you have to be poor from the beginning of the process through the end of the process. The only time that matters by Mitzora is your status at the time that you're bringing one of these three karbanos. So we had a pasuk by Arach and it said, Ve'emachu. And we said the only time he could get away with bringing the erech of a poor person, giving the erech of a poor person, is if he's poor, mitchiloso v'ad sofo. But by Mitzora it says, Ve'emdalhu. And we don't make a similar drasha, but there's no requirement that he be poor mitchiloso vad sofo. Says the Gemara Vela Hulama. So in that case, what does the word who in the pasuk come to teach me? Lama li, so says the Gemara, le Rebbe kede islay ul rabbanan kede islay. It comes to teach me the following halacha. According to Rebbe, it teaches me the halacha that if an usher is no there to bring the carbon of a poor mitzora, then he has to bring the carbon of an usher, because the pasuk is only concerned with the status of the mitzora himself, not the status of the person who is making the neder to fulfill the karbanos of the mitzora. And l'rabbanan, they learn the following, that if an ani is no der to bring the karbanos of a mitzora who's rich, also he has to bring the karban of a rich person. And again, it makes sense, because the Torah is only concerned with the status of the mitzora himself. Okay, so says the Gemara Navaiter, six lines up from the bottom. So Elamayata, Vahu Aid. So if you want to say that every time it says who, we want to learn that you have to maintain that status from the beginning of the process through the end of the process, says the Gemara, that we find that not to be the case in some cases. Why? Because Elamayata, Vahu Aid, when it says Vahu Aid, that we're talking about Aidas, people who are kosher the Aidas, Achiu kosher mitchaloso vad sofo. So you might assume then that the only time you're fit to serve as an aid is if you're a kosher aid from the beginning of the process of Aidas through the end of the process of Aidas. The chita machanami, and if you want to say, yeah, maybe that's true, maybe you have to be a kosher aid from the beginning to the end of the process. Vatanya, but we learn in the Braisa, not like that. Hayodea loba Aidas, achelo nase chasano. If a person knew Aidas about someone before he became related to him, before he became his son-in-law, v'nasa chasano, and then he became his son-in-law, pikeach v'nischaresh. If he was at first pikeach, and then he became a deaf mute, and or patoach, or at first he was a seeing person, he was a regular person who had good vision, v'nistama, then he became blind, shafoi v'nishtate, or if he was a person of settled mind, and after that he went nuts, harez apostle. then he's possible edus. Because obviously, if you can't see, either when you were supposed to witness what you're testifying about, or when you're in court, that's bad. If you're nuts, either when you saw what you're testifying about, or when you're testifying in court, that's obviously very bad. A relative, pasul eida. So you can't be a relative at either of these times. However, let's say a person knows eidus about somebody else before he became his son-in-law, before he became related to him, and then he became his son-in-law. So at the time that he was his son-in-law, he was pasul to say the eidus, but v'achakach mesabito. But after that, the guy's who he's testifying about's daughter, i.e. the wife of the aide, died. So at the time that he saw the eidus, he was not the son-in-law. Then he became his son-in-law. Now he's no longer a son-in-law again at the time that he's supposed to be in court. So we'll see that eidus is fine. But just on this, there are some Rishonim who hold that the only time the kurva breaks, the only time he's considered to be a kosher aide for his ex-father-in-law, is if he doesn't have any children from the daughter, from his wife. However, if he has children from his wife, then the status of kurva remains, and then he's pasul for eidus. So the question is, so why ordinarily would a person be pasul to say eidus for his father-in-law, but after the death of his wife, he's allowed to say eidus for his father-in-law? So the Rishonim explain as follows, that by eidus, the halacha is that kurva, krovim, are pasul eidus, but krove krovim, relatives of relatives, are kasher eidus. La halacha, al amidaraisa. So it turns out like this. So long as the guy is married to his wife, and his wife is the daughter of the person he wants to testify about, ishto kegufo, and the father-in-law has a din of krovav, and it's usur to be meyid on his karov. Once the wife dies, we don't ignore the relation, because there was a relation, but the wife is no longer here, so we can't say ishto kegufo, because she's no longer his isha, so he has a halacha of krove krovav, and krove krovav you could be meyid about. So that's how it works, that you could be meyid on the father-in-law after the wife dies. But the point is that he saw the eidus at a time, he saw the act at a time when he was kosher. Then he became pasul, now he's kosher again. Or, first line on Yud Ches Amud Aleph, Pikeach v'nischaresh v'chazer v'nispakach. He was okay when he saw the eidus, then he became a deaf mute, and then he was okay again when it was time to give the eidus. Patoach v'nisma v'chazer v'nitpachas. Or he was able to see when he saw the eidus, then he became blind temporarily, and then he became able to see again. Or if he was in his right mind when he saw the eidus, then he went nuts, and now he's in his right mind again. So kosher, then he's going to be kosher. So anytime he's the beginning of the process, in other words, when he sees the eidus, and the end when he's testifying, anytime he's kosher at those two periods, he's kosher le'edas, and we don't say there's a requirement that he be kosher mitchiloso v'ad sofo consecutively. So long as he's kosher le'edas at the two critical moments, we're good. Says the Gemara, Shani Yosam, Diamar Kra, Ora Imlo Yagid. Now, because over there the Pasuk says, Ora Imlo Yagid, the Pasuk specifically tells us, Bri'iya v'agada tala rachmana milsa. The Torah is focused on his status at the time of Ri'as Eidus, and at his status at the time of Agadas Eidus. We don't care what his status is in the meantime, in the interim. Says the Gemara, Va'ika, and he is okay at the beginning and at the end. Ve'la v'hu lamali. So why does it say v'hu aid? So what do we learn from the miyat of v'hu aid? What does it teach us? If it doesn't teach us that you have to be a kashra aid, what then does it come to teach us? L'chidatanya, Ra siya shal b'nei adam omdim. If you see a group of people standing, the edav b'neiem, and his edim are among them, the amar mashbiani aleichem, and he says generally, I am mashbia you im yodem atem li edus shetavov v'teaduni. If you know edus for me, then you should come and testify on my behalf. Yochel you chayavin. I might think that they might be required to come testify. Tamalomer v'hu eid varelo yichad edav. No, the only time they're chayav to testify is when he specifies, when he designates his edin. And because he just went over a large group of people and said, you, generally, you should come testify, they're not mechuyev to come testify. Yochel afilomer call me. What if he goes to this big group and says, anybody who knows Eidos about me is required to come testify? He didn't say you. He said, anybody who knows Eidos about me is chayav to come testify. Tamalomar vu'eid vareyichad Eidav. Ah, over there, he was miyached his Eidim because he went over to a large group of people and he wasn't speaking generally to the group. He said, anybody in the group who knows Eidos, that's considered to be a yichad Eidim, has to come and testify. Says the Gemara, Avol b'Karbonos Eino Kein. But we're now going to talk about the concept of a person who's poor, even though he's in line to receive a lot of money, why the Mishnah and why the Torah would consider him still to be a poor person. Says the Gemara, Aviv meis v'niach lo rivo asherhu. If his father died and left him a massive inheritance, he's not a poor person, he's a very wealthy person. Why should he get away with giving the karban of a poor person? So Amar Rav Avo, ema meniach lo rivo. Nah, the point is that his father didn't die yet. His father's alive, but his father's a wealthy guy. So when his father passes away, he's going to get a big inheritance. Ashkoyach, but his father's alive and well, so he's not rich now. Says the Gemara, it's so simple. Pshita, it's obvious. He doesn't have that money. Why should we consider him a rich person? Says the Gemara, Kishai Aviv Goseis. Ah, we're talking about where his father was a Goseis. So Ma'adatema Rav Gosesin Lemisa. I might think most Gosesin pass away right away, and therefore we should consider it as if he's already inherited the money, and therefore we should consider him to be a rich person. Kamash Malan, no, we're not going to consider him to be a rich person. Svinos Sobiyam, we said another example where the guy is considered to be a poor person is where he has a svina and he has a boat, a ship at sea that's going to come to him with a ton of merchandise and it's going to make him a lot of money. Says the Gemara, svina sobiyam abolo bribos. If he has a svina on the ocean and it's going to come to him with tens of thousands of dollars, so asheru, then he's a rich person. So Amar Rav Chisda, kishaya b'chracha sumuskeres. We're talking about where the boat was leased or consigned to somebody else, biyad acherim. And therefore, he doesn't own what's on the boat. It's not like it's his. He leased the boat to somebody, and that person who leased the boat is transporting a pile of diamonds on the boat. So it doesn't make the owner of the boat a rich guy, because the boat's transporting a bunch of diamonds. Says the Gemara, but Vayika Schirus, well, time out. The guy owns a boat. The guy's leasing the boat. Somebody's presumably paying a lot of money to lease the boat, so he has an income stream. He's a wealthy person. Says the Gemara, Schirus eina mishalemes elo lebesov. Schirus is only paid at the end. There's a shas machlokas whether Schirus is counted mitchila ad sof, or whether Schirus is only counted at the sof. But everybody agrees that even if you say that yesh Schirus mitchila ad sof, everybody agrees that the actual rental payment isn't paid until the end. And if the rental payment isn't paid until the end, so even though the guy owns a boat, and even though the guy is leasing out his boat, still it's not considered as if he has the lease payments, the rent payments, until the end of the term. Says the Gemara, but typically Mishum Svina, don't be so short-sighted. The guy owns a boat, he leases the boat, forget about the rental payments, the guy owns a boat. How many people own a boat? So says the Gemara, Hamani Rabbi Elazar I Detan Rabbi Elazar Omer Imhaya Ichar Nosin Lo Tzmado. If he was a farmer, we leave him his ox. V'chamor Nosin Lo Chamoro. If he was a donkey driver, we leave him his donkey. So in other words, we leave him with the basic tools of his trade. So if the guy owns a boat and he's a sailor, we would leave him the boat, and we don't count that in his nechasim. In other words, the halacha is, if you're poor, then you have to give everything you have towards the erech, but you don't have to give away the source of your livelihood. So if you're a farmer, you get to keep your ox. If you're a boat, if you're a sailor, or if you do all your business with this boat, you're allowed to keep your boat, and therefore he's still considered to be a poor person for arachin purposes, even though he owns the boat. Okay, so says the next Mishnah. Hashanim benidar. The age, the years of a person are calculated in accordance with the nidar, the subject of the vow, ketzad. So what's an example of this? A yelet she'erech zaken, if a yelet is ma'erech zaken, nosen erech zaken. If a yelet says, the erech of the zaken is on me, then he has to give the erech of a zaken. Zaken she'erech es a yelet, or if you have a zaken who is ma'erech a yelet, nosen erech yelet, he gives the erech of a yelet. Harachin benerach, harachin follow the nerach, in other words, the gender of the subject of the erech vow. Ketzad ish erech isha, a man who pledges to give the erech of a woman, no sein erech isha, he gives the erech of a woman, v'isha she'ericha ish, and a woman who pledges to give the erech of a man, no sein es erech ish, she has to give the erech of a man, because it all follows the gender of the subject of the vow. V'ya erech v'zman erech, and the erech also follows the status at the time the erech was made. Ketzad erech upachos miben chamesh, let's say if a person says, I'm going to give the erech of this kid, and that kid at the time is less than 5 years old. V'nasa yeser al ben chamesh, but before he has time to fulfill the pledge, the kid turns 5 years old. So, or pachas min ben esrim, v'nasa yeser al ben esrim. Or if he says, I'm going to pledge to give the erech of a certain person and the kid is less than 20, but then he becomes 20 by the time he fulfills the pledge. So no sin mizman erech. He has to give in accordance with the zman of the erech, in accordance with the time, with the status at the time the erech was made. So says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, Ata Hikashta, that you have been makish damim la'arachim, you have been makish damim la'arachim. So what does that mean? That you have been makish, you've compared vows to regular arach, you've compared regular nedarim to arachin, legabe the following halachas. Margolis lekalim, a pearl for poor people. What does this mean? So Rashi explains that let's say the guy has a pearl. And let's say the guy is a poor guy, so he lives in a simple village where there's nobody around to buy a pearl. But if you travel to Manhattan and go to 47th Street, there are people who buy jewelry for a lot more money. So I might think that we're not going to assess the value of the pearl that the pearl would generate in a sale where he is. I might think, well, don't let the guy sell the pearl in the Catskills or somewhere. Make him go to 47th Street in Manhattan and sell the pearl there, and the pearl will be worth a lot more money. No, but Margolis Lakalin. Margolis, everything is assessed according to where it is. If the pearl is in a regular suburb, you assess how much the pearl would be worth in that small village, in the suburb. You don't assess how much it would be worth in the city. But Lidon Bechvodo, and also it's Lidon Bechvodo, meaning Rashi explains that if you are marich a davar shenashama tluyabo, so let's say the regular way to give an erech vow is to say, I give my erech, or I give your erech. Let's say you say, I give the erech of my head. So a person's head doesn't have an erech, but a person also can't live without a head. So if a person says, I give my head's erech, then he intends to give his full erech, and therefore he has to give the full amount of money. So yachol nakish arachon nedamim sheitin kashas nesina. I might think, therefore, that we should compare nedarim to damim, arachon to damim, that you should give at the time of nesina. In other words, if you say dame ploni alai, the value of so and so is on me. What do we mean, the value of so and so? So we mean what he could obtain on the slave market, what he's worth on the slave market. So if you say to me ploni alai that I have to give the value of so and so, you make the nether, says Rashi, you make the nether in Tishrei, but you don't come to fulfill the vow until Nisan. So when do you evaluate the guy? Says Rashi, you evaluate the guy when you're ready to pay the vow. Why? Because who knows what he was worth in Tishrei, and if he's worth something in Tishrei, who knows if he's worth the same thing in Nisan? However, by Arachin, it's not like that. By Arachin, as we saw, we follow the worth at the time the vow was made. Therefore, if he pledges to give the Erech of somebody who's 19, then he only has to give the Erech of the age bracket from 5 to 20. Even though the guy already turned 20 by the time he's ready to pay the vow. So I might think that we should compare arachin to damim in that respect, that it should all follow the shas nesina. Tamalomar ke'erkecha yakum in a nosein elabizmana erech. By arachin, we have a special halacha that we follow the zman ha'erech. Right, says the next Mishnah. Yom shloshim kilamato emena. So the 30th day is like less than 30. We know that a baby less than 30 days old doesn't have an erech. A baby from the time he's 30 days old until 5 years does have an erech. So let's say the baby is exactly 30 days old, it's considered to be less than 30. Shnas chamesh v'shnas esrim kilamatamam. Similarly, a baby who's 5 years old is considered to be less than 5 for arachin purposes. A person who's 20 years old is considered to be less than 20 for arachin purposes. Shenemar v'mi ben shishim shana v'mala. Hare anu lamedim bekula mishnas bekulam bishnashishim. So we learn out all the age brackets from shnashishim. Ma shnashishim kilamata. Just like if he's 60, then he's considered to be in the 20 to 60 bracket, because it says mishnashishim ulamala. It's only when he's above. It's only when he completed his 60th year. In other words, when he's 61, that he ages out of that bracket. But when he's 60, he's still considered to be in that bracket. So too, by everything else, he's considered to be in the lower age bracket. So mashnas shishim kilamata imenu, afshnas chamesh shnas esrim kilamata imenu. Says the Gemara, imkein, osashnas shishim kilamata imenu lahachmir, nasashnas chamesh vishnas esrim kilamata imenu lahakel. Time out. If we're going to consider a 60-year-old guy to be in the 20 to 60 age bracket and not in the 61, in the 60-plus age bracket, that's a chumrah, because the erech of a 20 to 60-year-old is more than the erech of a 60-plus-year-old. If we're going to say that if a guy is 20 years old, he's considered to be in the 5 to 19 bracket, that's a kula, because the erech of a 20-year-old is much more than the erech of a 5 to 19-year-old person. So how do we know that I say it lekula as well? Tamalomar shana shana l'gzeira shava. It says shana shana as l'gzeira shava, ma shana amura b'shna shishim kilamata. Just like 60 years old is considered to be in the lower bracket, av shana amura mishnas chamesh b'shnas esrim kilamata mimenu. Also, years 5, years 20, anything at the cusp is considered to be in the lower bracket. Bein lakel, bein lachmer, because we have l'gzeira shava, we know to learn this both lekula and lechumra. So Rabbi Lezer Omer Achiu Yaseiros Alashanim Chodesh V'yamechad. So a strange halacha, which we'll explain in the Gemara, that the only time you age out of your age bracket is when you're, let's say, 61, because you have to get past that full 60th year, plus a month, plus a day. So you have to be, for whatever reason, a month and a day older than the bracket in order to be considered in the next age bracket. We'll see why. Says the Gemara Mufna, the Gzeira Shava of Shana Shana that we just said in the Mishnah must be Gzeira Shava Mufna, must be open for Drasha. Why? Dila Mufna Ikal Mifrach Kedabarchinan. Because if it were not Gzeira Shava Mufna, we had a kach on Gzeira Shava, as we saw in the Mishnah. How do I know just because 60 is considered to be in the lower bracket doesn't necessarily mean that 5 and 20 are in the lower bracket, because 60 being in the lower bracket is a Chumrah. 5 and 20 being in the lower bracket is a kula. So I might not think to compare them. Oh, comes along the Gzeira Shava. Shana Shana teaches me the comparison is absolute. And says the Gemara, Shana Shana, Yiseirak Sivi. And it turns out that Shana Shana is in fact, they're a yeser, they are open, they're superfluous, and therefore they are available for Drasha. Says the Gemara, Lema Masnisin Delo Karebi. Let's say our Mishnah is not like Rebbe. So what do we mean here? Because in our Mishnah, we needed a pasuk to teach me that 20 is considered to be dilemata, and that's not like Rebbe. Why? Says Rashi, di karebi hamar adva ad bichlal. Because Rebbe has this idea of adva ad bichlal. So in other words, Rebbe says, if the pasuk says v'im chamei shanim ad esrim shana, then his erech is something. So adva ad bichlal means that 20 is bichlal, the 5 to 20. Just that's the way I darshan the pasuk. So I don't need Gzeira Shava Shana Shana to teach me that a 20-year-old's in the lower bracket. I know he's in the lower bracket because Adva Ad Bechlal. Says the Gemara, the Rebbe, Ha'omar Adva Ad Bechlal. Rebbe says Adva Ad Bechlal, Detanya, Miyom HaRishon VaYom HaShvi'i. It says by Pesach that you're not allowed to eat chametz from the first day of the Yontif until the seventh day of the Yontif. Yochol Rishon V'lo Rishon Bechlal Shvi'i V'lo Shvi'i Bechlal. I might think that, when it says Yom HaRishon, it doesn't include the first day, and when it says Yom HaShvi'i, it doesn't include the seventh day, meaning the only days is an Isser D'Chametz is the second day through the sixth day. Says Tosfos, that's pretty wild. Last Tosfos on the page, V'im Tomar, Heich Efter Lomar Kain, how in the world can you ever have a Havamina that this is the case? V'aksiv, Shivas Yomim Tochal Matzos. The Pasuk tells me, not only Me'yom HaRishon Vad Yom HaShvi'i, the Pasuk counts them. 7 days you have to eat matzah. So if the Torah tells me 7 days I have to eat matzah, and then it says Me'yom HaRishon Vad Yom HaShvi'i, how in the world could I think it's Ad V'lo, how could I think that it's Ad V'lo Ad B'chlal, that it doesn't include days 1 and 7? That doesn't make any sense. Says Tosfos, V'yesh Lomar D'lo Chiyuv Kares Komar. I might think that we're talking about Chiyuv Kares. The Kares by Krok Siv. The pasuk of kares, the pasuk that tells me there's a chiyuv kares for eating chametz on Pesach, that's the pasuk on which it's written miyom rishon vad yom hashvi'i. So I might think that rishon doesn't include the first day, and shvi'i doesn't include the last day legabe kares. But everybody would agree the isra of achilas chametz is all 7 days. So, but anyway, says the Gemara, we know, getting back to what we're saying, talking about in the Gemara, we know that there is no problem. We had said that our Mishnah is not going like Rebbe. Our Mishnah required a Gzeir Shavah of Shana Shana to teach me that 20 is considered to be in the 5 to 20 bracket. We said Rebbe would know anyway, because Rebbe said Ad Ba'abaklal, and therefore if the Pasuk says Me Ben Chamesh Va'ad Ben Esrim, we know that Esrim is included in the Chamesh to Esrim age bracket. So says the Gemara, now flipping over to Yod Chasam Abeis, Kinyan Shenemar, like it says, Lagabe Tzaras, Me Rosha V'ad Raglav. It says by Tzaras, Rosha Me Rosha from his head until his feet, Rosha V'la Rosha B'chlal, Raglav la Raglav B'chlal. That is, head doesn't include his head. When it says Rosho, it means up to but not including his head. When it says his feet, it means up to but not including his feet. Tamalomar ad yom echad ve'esrim lechodesh be'erev. Ah, that's why the Pasuk by Chametz, going back to Chametz now, teaches me that you're not allowed to eat Chametz until the 21st day of the month. So, meaning that it's 7 days, that you don't say the Isra of Chametz is only 6 days, it is actually 7 days long. Rebbe Omer ain't a tzarech. Rebbe says, no, I don't need any of these drushas, because Rishon, Rishon Bechlal, Shvi'i, V'Shvi'i Bechlal. Here's the clincher. Rebbe says, when we say B'Yom HaRishon Ad Yom HaShvi'i, I would never have a Havamina to think that Rishon excludes the first day and Shvi'i excludes the last day, because it's always Ad V'Ad Bechlal. It's always inclusive. Says the Gemara, Afilu Tema Rebbe. No, the Mishnah could even be going like Rebbe. Because Shkuli Mishkuli Kroy. Because the Psukim counterbalance. So Michti, Ksibi Ben Chodesh Va Ben Chamesh Shanim. And then it says, Mi Ben Chamesh Va Ben Esrim. So Lamali. So in other words, a five-year-old is mentioned twice in the Pasuk. From the time that he's a month until the time that he's five. From the time that he's five until the time that he's 20. So how are you going to treat him when he's five? There are psukim on both sides that I would darshan ad v'ad b'chlal. One pasuk, one drasha would be ad v'ad b'chlal, that the five-year-old is in the lower bracket. Mi ben chamesh v'ad ben esrim would teach me that the five-year-old's in the higher bracket. So therefore, hilkach ishtak lulu, therefore they're counterbalanced, the psukim are counterbalanced, and I need the gzeir shavah of shana shana to teach me that a person who's in one of the first year of the bracket is always considered to be in the lower bracket. So even according to Rebbe, I need the Gzeir Shavah of Shana Shana. So the Gemara takes a quick tangent. Some are Mar Rosha v'la Rosha b'chlal, Ragla v'la Ragla b'chlal. Minolon, we said by Mitzora, we're talking about Mitzora Me Rosho V'ad Raglav, and we said including and up to but not including his head, up to but not including his feet. How do we know that? Yibosema Shani Simonim Degufa Misimonim De Rosho. Some say, well listen, there are Simonim for Tzaras that are brought down in the Chumash. The Simonim for Tzaras Haguf are different than the Simonim for Tzaras HaRosh. So you can't say that when it says Me Rosho in the Pasuk, it includes the Rosh, because the Rosh has different simonim than the rest of the guf. So it can't be in the same halacha, because the simonim are different. And Iba Asema, L'chol Mare Enei HaKohen. Or because we're talking about Saras, that is found L'chol Mare Enei HaKohen, wherever the coin can see it. What can the coin see? The coin can see on his body. The coin can't see on his head, because a person has hair, so the coin can't see his scalp. The coin can't see his feet, And the Rashi brings down two deis. One says he can't see in between his toes. Others say maybe he has saras on the bottom of his feet. But regardless, it's a place in a person's body where the Kohen cannot see. Okay, says the Gemara, now vayte Rebbe Elazar Omer, ad shiyu yiseros al hashanim chodesh v'yamecha. Rebbe Elazar had this weird shita who said that the only time you age out of a bracket is when you're the age specified in the Torah plus a month plus a day. So when you're 60, the way we're learning it, when you're 61 and 1 month and 1 day, that's when you're in the older bracket. So how does that make sense? Why is this the case? Tanya Rebbe Elazar Omer Nemar Kan Lamala Menemar Lahalan, and it says by the counting of the Levim, it says Chodesh Ulamala. So Mal Alon Meben Chodesh V'Yomecha, just like by the Levim, they're counted only when they were a month and a day old. Afkan Chodesh V'Yomecha. Also of a year, they're counted or they're considered to be in the next bracket when they were a month and a day older than the age specified in the Torah. V'Mekiyosam Mal Asam Chad Yoma Afkan Chad Yoma. No, it says the Gemara. Time out. We count the Levim when they're 30 days, 31 days old, because you start counting at 30 days, so you add an extra day. So don't tell me by Arachan I'm going to add a month and a day. It just so happens the time, the age that we were talking about by the Levim was 30 days old. It was a one-month-old baby. But all we're adding to that calculation is a day. So add a day, not a month and a day. So Afkan Chad Yoma, so Im King, Zeh Reshava, Mayani. But if that's the case, so what does the Zeh Reshava of Chodesh, of Lamala help us? So Elamai, it comes to teach me specifically that just like by Levim, we're dealing with 31 days, so too by Arachin, we're dealing with 31 days, meaning that you don't age out of a bracket until you are the age plus 31 days. Tana Rabbanan. Now we're going to learn about whether we're talking about, we're going to learn when we have halachas that depend on years in the Torah, are we talking about years in the calendar? So are we referring to years that begin in Tishrei? Or are we referring to years that are me'es le'es, like the way we would observe our birthdays, for example? That's one of the examples. So Tana Rabbanan. Shana Amura B'Kachim, the Shana that is spoken about by Kachim, Shana Amura B'Vatei Arechoma, the Shana that is spoken about in Batei Arechoma, Shtei Shanim Shebestei Achuza, and by Batei Arechoma, you're allowed to be goal of the field for a year after you sell it. The 2 years that are written about by Yestei Achuza, where if you sell your inheritance field in Eretz Yisrael to somebody else, you have to let the buyer take two crops out of the field, two tvuas. V'shei Shanim Shebevet Ivri, the 6 year term of slavery for an Evet Ivri, V'chein Shebeben V'shebebas, and also by a son and a daughter, we'll see what this is in a minute, Kula Me'es Le'es. They are all observed May ace la ace. In other words, if you sell a field today, and today is Aleph Tammuz, so you would calculate the year from Aleph Tammuz. You wouldn't calculate, and so when Tishrei comes, you wouldn't say, oh, it's the second year. No, it's not the second year until Aleph Tammuz passes next year. They're all calculated me'es leis. Happens to be some of these halachas are me'es leis. Tosfa says some of these halachas are not only me'es leis, but they're also me'shah le'shah. They're also hour to hour. So in other words, if you sold your house in the Batei Rechoma on today at 12 o'clock, then you would have until this date at 12 o'clock in order to redeem it. However, by a birthday, we see, which might be what Ben Babas comes to teach us, but by a birthday, for example, when a kid becomes a bar mitzvah or a bas mitzvah, just because the kid was born, let's say a kid was born Aleph Tammuz at 11:30 in the morning. So we don't say that he becomes a bar mitzvah on Aleph Tammuz in his 13th year at 11:30 in the morning. No, he becomes a bar mitzvah on that date. So it's me'es le'es, but it's not me'shah le'shah. All right, but in any event, kulam me'es le'es. All these halachas are me'es le'es. Shonam ura b'kachim inola, and how do I know that the year that's spoken about by kachim, where an animal has to be a year old or 2 years old to be born as a carbon, how do we know that that year is me'es le'es? Amar avacha bar Yaakov, amar kra, keves ben shnaso, shnaso shalo, velo shal minin olam. We follow the year, its year, the year of the animal, not the year of of the calendar. Shana Mura Bata Rechoma, a Shana that's mentioned by Bata Rechoma, Dechsev Atom Shnas Memkaro, Memkar Shalo, Velo Shnas Laminin Olam. Again, it depends on the year in which it's sold. Shtei Shanam Shabistei Achuza, Dechsev Mispar Shtei Tvuo Simarcha Lecha, because it says that it has to be left in the possession of the purchaser for Tvuos. But there are times when a person can eat two tzvuos within 2 years, and Rashi says this is most prevalent when the years are counted may ace lace, because you really have to hit the field at the right time in order to get three harvests in 2 years, and generally it is contingent on whether you sell the field when it's full of peiros. Therefore, you could harvest right away, and then over the next 2 years of ownership, you could get two more harvests for a total of three. Tosfa says, yes, it is true that even if we follow calendar years, it is possible in rare circumstances, depending on when you sell it, to have three tvuos in 2 years, but it's more prevalent when you count meis leis. Sheisha beved ivri, dechsev sheishana miyavod, uvashviyas, zimnin de beshviyas na miyavod. There are some times when in the seventh year, according to the calendar, if it's already past Tishrei, the Eved would still work because we follow years me'es leis. V'sheba ben v'sheba bas, kula me'es leis. They're all me'es leis. L'may hilchasa. What does it mean, sheba ben v'sheba bas? Amarav gidol amarav la'arachin. We're talking about arachin. The age of a person flips, not in Tishrei, but on his birthday or her birthday. Rav Yosef amar l'prakim di yotze dofen. We're talking about the inyanim that we learn in Perek Yotze Dofen, and we're talking about over there halachas and the darim, the ability of a boy or a girl, age 12 or 13, or 11 and 12 for a girl, to make a neder. When we talk about a kid 11 or 12 years old, but for the purposes of nedarim, we're talking about in shows meis leis, not shows that flip when the calendar turns to Tishrei. So Amar Le Abaye L'Rav Yosef Mipal Gisu. Do you guys argue? In other words, one said that it's a nafkamina legabe arach, and the other said it's a nafkamina legabe nedarim. Amar Le Lo, Ana Amri Chadav, Amar Chadav. We don't disagree. We're just giving different examples. Hachinami Mistabra, these al kadai tech pligi. Because if you want to say that they do argue, Mandi Amar La Arach and Amar Le Yotze Dofen. Mandi Amar La Arach and Amar Le Yotze Dofen. Does the person who holds that this applies to Arachan, does he not say that it applies to Yotze Dofen, to the halacha of Nedarim? V'merav hilchasa b'kula pirka me'es le'es. The halacha is always me'es le'es. Ve'la l'mandi amar la'arachan my time alo amar le'yotze dofen. In that case, why do they give different examples? The one who says that me'es le'es by a ben avas deals with Arachan, why doesn't he give the example that it deals with Nedarim? Dum yada anach. Man arach d'chsibi afan. Because we want to talk about things that are mentioned in the pasuk, and you know what's mentioned in the pasuk? Arachin is mentioned in the Torah. Nedarim, how old a kid has to be in order to make a neder, not mentioned in the Torah. That's why we give an example of arachin. Vidach isal kadaitach dechsiva. If you thought that it's written legabe arachin, hay shebebem shebebas shebejafer shebnekeva miboyle. If what we're talking about is arachin, why does it say shebebem shebebas? It should say the halachas of a zachar and a nekeva. That's the way we typically refer to people of different gender, male and female, not son and daughter. So Umayshna Nekeva, says the Gemara, might now just a general question. Umayshna Nekeva dechi mizkana kamei atilsa. How come when a woman gets older, she devalues basically to one third of her value? At her peak, she's worth 30 in erech terms, and after 60, she is worth 10. So she's one third of her value. Maishna zachar d'lo kai atilsa. A male is not even worth a third of his value. At his peak, he's worth 50, and then when he ages out, he's worth only 15. So that's less than a third of his value. So Marchizkia amri inchi sababesa pachababesa, because people say if there's an old person in the house, there's a calamity in the house, because an old man is just very cantankerous. He's very difficult to deal with. Savta babesa, but if there's an old woman in the house, simana babesa, then there's a sima babesa, then there's a treasure in the house, and therefore the woman keeps more of her value as she ages than a man. So Adron Allah Chesed Yad, the rabbi is back tomorrow, and he will begin the next perek, God willing.